this morning in our pastoral prayer time, time of prayer with the pastor. In other words, a number of us gathered at 8:30 in the morning to pray for the day's ministries. One of the men that prayed, specifically prayed that when we celebrate the first coming of Christ, we would have as much of a passion and love for the second coming of Christ. And I think that song really captures that idea, the fact that Jesus has come, but also the fact that he is coming again, and that we ought to be anticipating that and eagerly awaiting his second coming, because that's really where the peace comes from. That's really where the hope comes from long term in terms of the future. And so I appreciate that song tonight, and it fits well with what I'll be sharing this evening. I think it was either 4 or 5 years ago that I started doing something a little different during our caroling service, the service right before going out caroling, and that was to do some homework on a Christmas carol and find out what the story was behind each one of these Christmas carols that we so enjoy. I would guess that most of us know a few of the stories behind a few of them, but a lot of them really have been born out of adversity and out of some very challenging, difficult type of circumstances in the writer's lives. And so tonight, I've actually entitled tonight's devotional or essay, whatever you want to call it, that I've written, Hope for Hurting Hearts. Hope for Hurting Hearts. And it's a reflection about a carol and the author of that carol as well. I trust it'll be an encouragement to you tonight as I read this. For many, Christmas is a bittersweet holiday. For some, it is a reminder of hopes and dreams that have been dashed by the harsh realities of life. That was certainly the case for Henry. Rather than being a joyous holiday for him, Christmas was just a reminder of what he had once enjoyed. Reflecting on the Christmas season, he wrote, "How inexpressibly sad are the holidays." An author and poet, Henry's pen was as dry as his depressed heart. When he was able to write, he quipped, "I can make no record of these days. Better leave them wrapped in silence. Perhaps someday God will give me peace." Henry's journal entry for December of 1862 sadly reads, "A Merry Christmas, say the children, but that is no more for me." You see, Henry knew what it was like to lose the most precious love of his life, his dear wife, and to face the possibility of losing his oldest son while still grieving his wife's death. On July 13th, 1843, Henry married his beloved wife, Frances. In a few short years, their home was bustling with life as the Lord blessed them with 6 children. But in 1861, the same year that marked our nation being plunged into the Civil War, tragedy struck both nationally and personally for Henry. His wife of 18 years was melting a bar of sealing wax with a candle when hot drops of wax fell unnoticed on her dress. The hot wax ignited her dress, engulfing her body in flames. Running into Henry's study, he desperately attempted to help her put out the flames, badly burning his own face, arms, and hands. But Henry's injuries were nothing compared to those that Frances suffered. She died the next morning. Opinions differ as to why Henry did not attend his own wife's funeral. While his injuries definitely played a large part in his inability to attend, some surmise that being overwhelmed with grief may have also caused him to be absent. Francis' death left an indelible mark on Henry's body and soul. His physical appearance changed significantly because of the burns, prompting him to grow a beard to cover the scars that now marred his face. The scars to Henry's soul were far worse than those left on his body, causing Henry to sink into deep depression. It was that depressed soul that wrote in his journal on Christmas Day, 1862, "A Merry Christmas, say the children, but that is no more for me." To make matters worse, in March of 1863, Henry's oldest son, despite his father's wishes and without his father knowing, boarded a train bound for Washington, D.C. to join the Union Army to fight in the Civil War. Still reeling from the loss of his wife less than 2 years earlier, this dealt another blow to Henry. The prospect of the possibility of his son being killed in battle was nearly unbearable. Henry's worst fears became a reality when he received a telegram on December 1st, informing him that his son had been injured on the battlefield. A bullet had struck one shoulder, passing across his back near the spine, exiting under the other shoulder. Henry set off for Washington immediately. The first surgeon that Henry spoke with informed him that his son Charles could be paralyzed. Other doctors later told him that was not the case after Henry dealt with incredible anxiety over the initial prognosis. Thankfully, Charles, once well enough, was allowed to travel home with Henry to recuperate from his injuries. They arrived home on December 8, 1863. By December 25th, Charles had begun to recover significantly from his wounds, and so had Henry's spirit. Despite all that Henry had been through, on Christmas Day, 1863, he penned the poem, Christmas Bells. Capturing the chaos and despair of both his broken heart and the broken hearts of a nation embattled in the Civil War, Henry contrasted those with the hope he heard in the message of church bells. Church bells on that Christmas day. He heard Christmas bells reminding his broken heart and a broken nation of the hope of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. This poem reads, I heard the bells on Christmas day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then from each black accursed mouth, the cannon thundered in the south. And with the sound, the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. The fourth and fifth stanza of Henry's poem may sound unfamiliar to you. Henry's poem was originally published in a magazine. It was not set to music until 1872. Most musical versions of Henry's poem do not include the fourth and fifth stanzas, which reflect on the Civil War and Henry's personal despair, which is resolved in the final stanza. Despite the changes, this beloved Christmas carol still speaks to human hearts about the hope that is found not just in the sound of a church bell on Christmas morning, but in the words of the scripture they pealed on that Christmas day, 1863. Those words of peace on earth, goodwill toward men, are taken from the angelic announcement of the birth of Christ in Luke 2:14. And they brought hope to what had been the hopeless, hurting heart of Henry, famed poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. And those same words should bring hope to our hurting hearts today. Perhaps only in our minds can we hear the Christmas bells that Wadsworth wrote of. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the way you work in hearts of people who have gone through great despair and heartache and difficulty, to bring them to the point of realizing and remembering that you are truly in charge and in control, and that Jesus Christ is truly the hope of the world. That Jesus Christ is truly the one who takes us from desperation and perhaps even depression to the joy of knowing where we're going for eternity and knowing who is in control of even the circumstances of today. I pray that as we sing this song tonight, that we would sing it anew and afresh, even though we're not accustomed to singing those two stanzas that are not in our musical version typically. Lord, may we tonight understand this song with a new context and with a new joy and a new sense of appreciation. And may its truths resound in our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.